Hey, good to see everybody today. Got a bit of a twofer today. I won't keep you as long as last time, I don't think. But I did want to talk a little bit in the beginning about the Minnesota, the Catholic school thing. There's been so much being said by a lot of people, and some people, you know, unwittingly speak the truth, but they don't have wisdom on really what they're saying. They say stuff, and it is true, but not in the way that they're thinking. And I've seen a lot of that, and, you know, seen a lot of people blaming it on MAGA, and blaming it on guns, and blaming it on this, and blaming it on that. And, you know, the mayor was complaining. It's been a kind of a charge on Christianity and prayer. You know, it's been an attack on that. And the mayor complaining that thoughts and prayers ring hollow because children have died. And other people, I think Gavin, even in California, that prayers aren't the answer. We need to stop it. Those aren't the answer. And we've got a WNBA player hoping that this brings about more gun control. You know, it brought that back up again, that, you know, it's the guns that's the problem. And then we have one of the women's NBA coaches, and that she's the one I think really said some words that are true. She just didn't understand what she was saying. The context is different. And I'm just going to read you what she said. She said, "It's such an indictment of our society, our lack of regard for life. There are things we can do about it, and we don't. But for some reason, as Americans, we value something different. It's sickening. It's sad for the kids. It's sad for the kids that have to grow up like this. It's sad for the kids to walk through the door not knowing what's going to happen. So our hearts go out for the lives lost, kids that are hurt, teachers that have to go through this, families that drop their kids off at schools and don't have their kids come home. Hearts go out to them. The sad thing is we can't sit here and tell them help is on the way because we're not going to do anything about it." And I deleted a couple of words that I don't use and definitely can't say here. So, but she had a passion in that. But, evil's just going to happen in the last days. There will be evil things happening. And there's sick, evil people who do sick and evil things. You know, it's just going to be that way. Demons are going to control people. You know, demons are actually exist. They actually, people are possessed by demons. They control people. But prayers do work. You know, we've seen them work. Prayers are important. You know, if you think about it, you know, he had three different types of guns and whatever. I think it's a miracle only two people got killed. That's a tragedy, but it could have been much, much worse. Could have been a lot of kids that were there. And more prayers are going up now for those families than ever before. People are praying about, you know, our hearts go out to them. What does that mean? Does that mean we just sympathize with them? You know, a prayer is much more of an exercise to get something done. To put it in someone's hands that can do something. To give a peace. To work it out. Prayer matters. You know, to remove the guns, that's the same old story that's been going on a long, long time. You know, the Second Amendment for guns is for our protection from an evil government. You know, they've gone through that. That's why it's there. It's so that we have recourse against a government that just wants to take over, dictatorships and all that. That's what they're for. But no, we need to ban guns. And then it's always the same. Where does it stop? Then you ban knives, and then you ban cars, and then, you know, based on Cain and Abel, it's going to be hard to get rid of all the rocks. We can't get rid of all those things that cause damage. All these things were just tools in evil people's hands. It's not the tool. It's the evil. All those things were created with good things in mind to be a benefit. But evil will use any and all things for its purposes. Doesn't matter what it is. And I think it is true. It's an indictment of our society, our lack of regard for life. I thought it was a shame she didn't feel the same way about the abortion clinic down the street. Minnesota. You know, it's not abortion clinic. You know, it's reproductive health care. That's what's sickening. Reproductive health care is killing children. You know, she said all this in the state where there's no protections for the baby. It's one of the 9 states until birth, actual birth. There's no protection. And then it's iffy after that. Talk about a place that has a disregard for life. Okay to be upset if they're out of the womb, but if they're in the womb, it doesn't matter, even though that's the same person. So yeah, some Americans value something different. They value life. They value prayer. To a God is in control of all things. And even though we may not understand everything, we can trust Him on anything. Just knowing He has a greater plan, a greater purpose. He knows things we can't possibly know. And help is on the way. Because Jesus is coming back. This will all go away. So, that's the free one for today. So I want to go continue into a little bit of the end times. And understand last week's message, we talked about knowledge and AI. And, you know, it is a little scary, but and some said they were a little scared and afraid. But I don't want you to be scared. I want you to understand what's coming and why you don't want to be here for any of it. And I want to get into it a little bit more today, and hopefully it encourages you instead of maybe making you fearful. I want it to be an encouragement. You know, there's a lot going on today about the rapture and concerning the rapture. When Jesus will call the saints home, those believers will be called at the rapture. And I believe it happens before the tribulation. There's others that will argue, and that's okay. If you want to think it's in the middle or if you think it's at the end, that's okay. That's not a deal breaker. But I believe it's at the beginning. I believe God's word says so. But there's a lot of ground, a lot of going around. And the Bible says we'll have tribulation in our lives. You know, that's trials, that's troubles. We're going to have those things in our life. But this is the great tribulation, the 7 years. Divided into the 2 3.5-year periods. So I want to start in 1 Thessalonians 4. I've got 3 passages to look at today. The first one's in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. I'm going to get a Kleenex because Zyrtec doesn't work all the time. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. It says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. You know, he doesn't want us to be uninformed. He doesn't want those who believe in Jesus Christ, that he believed that he died and rose again, to not understand, to not know. It says he'll come with a loud command and a trumpet call. It says the dead in Christ will rise first, and then the believers who are still alive. There will still be believers alive at that time. Maybe us. You know, could be us. But all will be caught up together into the clouds to meet with the Lord and be with him forever. Encourage one another with these words. You know, encourage that. You know, this is what we call the rapture. No, the word rapture is not in the Bible, but the Greek word harpazo is. Harpazo means to take seeds or to snatch away. Translated into caught up, which translates into rapture, means being carried away. So it's there. It isn't the word rapture, but it's there. You know, a lot of people try to determine when the rapture is. You know, we get hung up on dates. You know, when is Christ coming? You know, now Christ's return, the second coming, is not till after the tribulation period. This is just the rapture. This isn't the second coming of Christ. Christ's second coming's at the end, before the millennial reign. This is the rapture, when he calls saints home. Yeah. And they try to determine it, saying, and I don't know if you've noticed, there's a lot of stuff going around. It's going to be on September 23rd. So September 23rd of this year. And a lot of them take it, the feasts in the Bible. There's a lot of things they take in. And I'll clarify this in a little bit. But they use the feast of the Bible. There's seven feasts in the Bible. And they say the first four have been already taken place. They're prophecies of what will happen, and the last three haven't. So the seven feasts, the first four feasts, the first one's the feast. Then we got different biblical names, but it's basically Passover, the Passover feast, and which kind of ties in with the crucifixion. The blood was shed to save the people. The second one's the Feast of Unleavened Bread, where sin, the death and burial of Christ and the sin taken away for us. And then there's one that's the third one's first fruits, the Feast of First Fruits. It denotes Christ's resurrection, ties in with he arose again and the resurrection. And then there's a Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit. All of those have been fulfilled. All of those feasts have been fulfilled. Now there remains three. One of them is the Feast of Trumpets. And that's where they get it. It says the trumpet will sound. And a lot of them say that's the 23rd. And they use a lot of other reasons as well. But the Feast of Trumpets is the celebration and the rapture period. And then there's Yom Kippur, which is coming up, which is a Day of Atonement. And that's when Christ does actually return, and Israel is called, and Israel repents and becomes part. And then the final one is the Feast of Tabernacles. Tabernacle means he actually lives with us, and that's the feast of the thousand-year, the millennial reign of Christ. And they use a lot of things, there's a lot of things going on. They use a lot of dates in Daniel, where the exact number of days fall between this point and this point. And a couple of them, this is the seventh time in history that it is lined up with perfect number of dates. And they use the number of seven as being completion. They use astronomy, not astrology, not Virgo, Pisces, all those, but astronomy, the lining of the planets. They've got where the crown on the lady's head in Revelation, and Jupiter, the way the planets will align amounts to Revelation, what it's talking about. So A lot of number sevens involved, a lot of dates involved, a lot of astronomy involved, and all of them point to this feast and the trumpets blowing, and so September 23rd. So if it's true, September 24th, we should never see each other down here anymore, but we'll see each other up there. So with that said, I want to read Matthew 24, 36 through 44. Matthew 24, 36 through 44. It says, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the day of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That's how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in a field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." You know, despite all the efforts and timelines and planet alignments and all that thing, people get interested in that stuff, and that's okay to talk about it, but no one knows when it will be. And I'm pretty sure angels and Satan and all those people are a little bit smart. I know they're smarter than me, so I got a feeling they're smarter than most of us, and they don't even know. You know, Satan's always got to be ready. You know, he's going to have an antichrist, and he's had to have one throughout history, because he doesn't know when it's going to take place. But he has someone ready. You know, people have talked about it, and they've named it in the past. People have. They've picked dates out in the past in history and said, well, this is when it's going to be. And they name it, and it really gets you into trouble. It gets people all wound up, for one thing. And then when it doesn't happen, people put their faith in that, and faith takes a hit. Because people believed what they said. You know, you said it's going to be in. And it doesn't give Christianity a very good look either, that we're saying this and it doesn't come true. So what are non-believers going to say? You know, but can you imagine the rapture when it takes place? Can you imagine the chaos that the world is going to be in when people just disappear? You know, planes, passengers are going to be gone. Pilots are going to be gone. Traffic controllers are going to be gone. Trains the same way. Passengers, conductors, automobiles. It's going to be quite a few crashes because the driver is going to be gone. Hopefully everybody in the vehicle are going to be gone. If there's not very many crashes, then there's not many people that knew the Lord like we hoped. There's going to be a ball game. Players are going to be missing. The guy shooting the free throw may just disappear. Now, based on what everybody hollers about officials, they'll all still be here. Umpires. I've heard people say about them, but the people are going to be just gone. They won't be here. And you know, those things are going to happen. And people are going to be desperate to look for answers. And it just indicates there will be a place for a leader to come around that might have answers. And the Antichrist will have answers. He's going to be a smart guy. And in those 7 years, he's going to look like a hero for 3.5. But the last 3.5, his true self comes out. It's not going to be pleasant. It's not going to be pleasant. I want to finish the scripture with 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 57. says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. And when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to have an invitation in a minute as we wind down. It says the trumpet will sound and all will be changed. The dead will be raised imperishable. And the mortal, those here, will be raised with immortality. And people will be taken at the rapture. You get to have a new body. You know, if your life, when it happens, you don't have to experience death here on earth. That sounds exciting. You know, death is a door. Dying stinks. You know, but death is just a door. We won't even have to experience that here on earth if it comes in our lifetime. We'll get a new body. It says we'll be like Christ. We'll have a glorified body. It'll be different, but it'll be recognizable. I mean, look at the example of Jesus. He had a different body. And maybe he wasn't recognized right off, but eventually he was. They knew who he was. It says in the twinkling of an eye. You know, trumpet's not going to blow very long. Twinkling of an eye is about a 1,000th of a second. It's going to be a burp. We'll all be gone. We'll have a new body. It'll happen fast. You know, if you've got them now, you won't need your glasses. You won't need your hearing aids. That achy knee or that achy shoulder that you have won't be anymore. Have a body not held by time or space. You know, Jesus appeared in rooms that were locked, you know, here to there. You know, walls and things didn't stop him. Time didn't stop him. Space didn't stop him. But a body that can eat and have fellowship and never die. He ate fish with the disciples. He was cooking on the shore. We'll be with friends and family and loved ones. Maybe a few you considered enemies. Maybe some loved ones we have never met here on earth. Like those aborted babies, I think heaven's going to be full. You've had trouble here on earth in the pregnancy and lost. I think you'll know them when you get there. They'll be there. And we'll be with Jesus for eternity. I think we should look forward to that. Not be afraid, but to look forward. What it won't do is it won't happen for everyone. It won't happen for everyone. It won't happen for all pastors. It won't happen for everybody sitting in the church. Everybody won't go. Because the relationship isn't there. They haven't put their trust in Christ. People will still be here and catastrophes will start happening. They'll start taking place. Eventually, you have to, if you want to buy or sell something, you'll have to get a mark. And we're getting towards that place. And so somebody the other day had a chip in their arm, but they didn't have to carry anything anymore. Just over at the grocery store, just hold their hand over it, pay for the groceries, had all their information, doctor, medical, all that stuff. And a thing in her arm. Thought that was great. Okay. Already said cell phones. I think Gates was talking cell phones. Won't be too many years before they won't exist. It'll be something on us, embedded as well, that will take its place. people will still be here. If they want to buy or sell, they'll have to take that mark. They'll have to worship that person. They'll have to bow down to the Antichrist. Plus, God's wrath on earth is going to be going on during this time. Starts out slow, but if you read Revelations, a lot of things take place. It's going to, you know, but God still, if you read it, is still calling out for people. He still has grace. They can accept Christ during those times, but it's going to be a whole lot harder. You know, he's going to have 144,000 witnesses, the gospel still going out, that he's going to protect over. But it's going to be much harder. You're going to basically be martyred for your faith. It's going to require your death on your confession of Christ. But it's possible. God's still calling out. But again, believers won't be here, I don't think, during this time. There's a lot of verses I could go into. I'm just going to read you a couple, and I didn't write down the passage. But one says, "Wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath." If he's going to rescue us from the wrath, we're not going to be here on those 7 years. "I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth." He's going to keep us from that time, those that have that trust and faith in him. I believe he's going to take us at the beginning. And there's others too. I'm not going to read them all today. The bottom line is the Lord doesn't want us to be fearful. I don't want any one of you to be fearful. I want you to be ready. The Lord wants you to be ready. Something we should look forward to, not to fear it. So ask, are you ready? Because there are some people think they are, and they're not. If you're saved, you shouldn't have any fear. If you have fear or in doubt of salvation, now's the time to accept his gift of salvation, to confirm your faith in him. Whether he comes on September 23rd or this afternoon, time does run out. You don't want to try it in 7 years. It's coming. He is coming. It's not when. Not a question of if, but when. And we don't know that. But he is coming. So are you ready? Are you ready? Let's pray.